Are you still doing Taekwondo with the kiddos? Didn't you guys get into Taekwondo a little bit?
Yeah, we did. We did. I still train once in a while. Like, I'll still work on my pumse. One of my best friends is Grandmaster John Engham, who runs a dojang in the middle in the Midwest. He's another fellow master SFG in Strongfirst. And one of my inspirations as far as continuing with Taekwondo. I still train once in a while. I drag the kids in when I can. But my son right now is in wrestling. So, he's focusing all of his time either training or trying to recover from wrestling training.
Yep. I remember those days.
Yeah. So he's working really hard with that. So right now, as far as weapons, kick punch arts, other stuff, I want him to handle business with wrestling, especially since it's senior year.
Right.
So let him do his wrestling, let him concentrate on that. And then later on, I'll be like, okay, hey, let's go back and revisit some of these other skill sets. My daughter, whenever she's around on Sunday mornings, it's like, hey, let's go through, at least let's just go run through the colored belt pumse. Just so you have some kind of recollection. And then maybe kick some paddle.
Awesome. Awesome. Are you, supplementing your son's training with any kettlebell work or anything like that for the wrestling? Or are you kind of letting his coach kind of do their own thing as far as that goes?
It really depends on his level of energy. So like a lot of, he's got practice 5 days a week.
Woo.
Yeah. And he comes back up the hill, like soaking freaking wet.
Yeah, I bet he does.
And so when I see that, the thought in my head is, as much as I might want to supplement him with other training, really the most responsible thing that he needs is good recovery so that his body can assimilate what he went through and then not have to, you know, rev the gas pedal against the brake.
Sure. Or risk injury somehow.
Yeah. And that's really a thing. I think with every athlete, regardless of age, dude, I think most athletes are so driven. Like, I want to do better. I want to train harder. I want to perform more. Right. Mm-hmm. And so what ends up happening is okay, there's a little warning light that's pain, or there's something like something doesn't feel right as I'm training or I'm doing whatever. Like, I'm working my ground strokes, or I'm, you know, hitting the heavy bag, or I'm working my takedowns and rolls, or I'm doing these lifts. And we just kind of turn a blind eye to it until that pain becomes like hard stop pain. And I think that's something that if we as professionals can help people understand, okay, you have these discomforts, they're important to note. And here's some of the things that these discomforts could mean that you have to do so that you can deal with these discomforts and get them out of the way so you can get back to training.
Yep.
I wish that was part of physical education for every kid.
Yeah.
Like, if we had that in our schools, can you imagine how dope our young athletes would be? How healthy our country would be? Instead, we've got people who are hooked on like painkillers and stuff because why? They blew out their back in the weightlifting room as a high school or college athlete that didn't really need to go that hard, go that far, go that deep into dysfunction, into pain in their training.
Wow. Yeah, that might have saved me a thumb surgery and a knee surgery.
Yeah, I mean, I think about for myself, like oftentimes, like when I look at him, when I see him, I'm like, okay, if I was in your shoes, what would I have wished that someone told me or did for me? And so like, I mean, he's got it pretty damn good. He wakes up with a kink in his neck and he's like, Dad, would you mind? And I'm like, okay, let's, you know, I'll do the soft tissue work and mold the joint. And he'll be like, pop, 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 and like, oh, lovely. So like, yeah, I mean, he's got some incredible resources here, whether it's like the, red light therapy wraps from Fringe, or whether it's the hyperbaric chamber or whatever. I mean, he's making intelligent use of what he's got available, and I'm proud of him for that.
That's awesome.
Is he? Yeah, that is totally awesome. Is he maybe looking forward to continuing a wrestling career in college? Has he talked about that?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay.
One, because he's like, let's be realistic, because my life doesn't revolve around wrestling.
Cool.
And he goes, and I know there are a lot of kids out there where it does. Like, they've wrestled, or they come from like lineage wrestling families where, like,
yeah,
that's their thing. He goes, I have no desire to compete against them. And I'm like, good for you. And he goes, so yeah, maybe, you know, maybe after I graduate from high school, you know, I'll go to one of the local junior colleges to get my general education requirements done. And then I'll just go with you on Thursdays to the Inosano Academy. And I'm like, oh, it'd be still awesome.
Yeah. Did he have any other interests in terms of like martial arts? Like, do you gravitate, I guess, maybe more towards grappling or more towards like striking arts? Or I'm sure you get, there was, he had quite an introduction.
Yeah. I mean, he's had some crazy introductions from people. I mean, like, his first formal martial arts instruction actually was with Hwarangdo Grandmaster Taejun Lee. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. That was his first formal martial arts instruction. So, like, from that, then to Little Dragons at the Inosano Academy, trained directly under Guro. And then training with me and other people since. So, his martial course, his martial exposure is like the stuff of like my wildest dreams. You know, I couldn't imagine training with some of those people right from the drop. Right. And so, yeah, I don't know what he's going to get into, but like right now he's curious about Kali, which is great because I'd like to have him more familiar with implement training. Like, how do you like pull a Jason Bourne? In other words, anything in the room can be weaponized. Never mind just your hands and your feet, but like anything in the room, whether it's a coffee cup, whether it's a charging cable, whether it's a pen, like everything can be a force multiplier. So how can you take that art and then bring it to its greatest fruition, you know, based on the situation that you're in?
Are there any other weapons besides the Kali that you like working with, Doc, that you think are just Kali, like, these are awesome?
Kali is huge, man. I mean, like, if, I don't know if it's still online or not, but there used to be one of my colleagues. Actually, this is the guy that set up that weightlifting session with Pavel for Guro is a guy by the name of Mike Krivka, who's like a big brother to me. Mike Krivka on his website used to have an explanation of the 12 areas of Inosanto Lacoste Kali. So in these 12 areas are 12 categories of weapons training or martial training, 12 areas of focus. So like single stick, double knife, axes, cane, stuff that looks like a sai, which is called a chabang or siku siku, you know, spears, blowguns, a sarong, a towel, nunchucks. So like, when you've got an art that's that vast, really that vast, and it's got a grappling, empty hand grappling, stick grappling, and there, you know, like all of these different kinds of expression of combat. Man, I mean, like, to explore that and do it in a way that you've explored it in a way that gives the study some justice, man, that's lifetimes of study right there. So, I'm curious as far as where he decides to go. And certainly for me, like, no matter how many times I show up for Kali, like, even if we're doing the same exact exercises on one day or same exact drills on one day that we did, let's say last time I went in, there's something that I catch. It's a little bit different. Like, oh, I didn't get that detail last time. Mm-hmm. So it never gets stale, and which is a lot of what I say about why I'm still in love with Tai Chi.
That's great. Perfect. You answered. Okay. You went right into the segue. Perfect.
Awesome. Yeah. I think with Tai Chi is like one of those arts that the more I practice it, the more I realize, wow, there's something that I missed in previous iterations or in previous sessions or in previous years. So with application, I think, okay, that's great to be able to see some of the things that I've been working on that are like, okay, this is a particular kind of energy. Now, can I do it in a different kind of energy or a different kind of timing? Like one of the things that I'm working on right now, and I think this is where real skill comes in. Like you see people like Matsuoka do this. You see people that like Martin Wheeler do this. You see certainly like a bunch of the higher level Tai Chi masters do this. And it's to be able to move in such a way with a kind of softness or a kind of relaxation that like doesn't set off alarm bells in the other guy's head.
Mm.
So like the moment you get tense, the moment you like you put something up, then they can feel you. Your tension begets more tension or begets a kind of reaction. Whereas it's like, if you're relaxed, there's no signal, right? You're not giving a signal to the other person. But if you can be relaxed in such a way where you're not limp, you're not, you know, falling all over the place, you're not ineffectual, but you're relaxed in such a way where you're able to reposition your body with them or reposition their body such that you have an advantage or such that you have greater leverage or such that you're able to hit harder or do whatever, right? Like, these are the things that I think need to be explained in a little bit more of a convincing manner from day one with Tai Chi or a lot of the soft arts, like Aikido too. Like, you know, one of the things that I had a hard time with when I started training Aikido with the kids was like, I kept hearing this word connection, connection, connection. Oh, you lose your connection. You didn't do this. You didn't have your connection. Will you explain to me what the hell connection is? And so, understanding that connection is the ability to be able to use just enough forward energy that you're staying with your partner or staying with your opponent and they're not losing their grip, but you're also like, you're able to manipulate them. You're able to cause them to react in a way that stiffens up or makes them lose balance. That's the connection that we're looking for rather than like just death grip them. Oh, you're connected now. Right. It's not that. It's like, how do you sense them? How do you hold on to them? Or how do you move them? Or how do you move with them in such a way that doesn't get them to freak out or does get them to freak out, where you don't freak out and you're able to continuously master or dominate the structure?
Wow. How has Sistema influenced your training? And do you still work on some of the drills? Yeah, it's pretty cool, isn't it?
Sistema, I got to say, like Martin Wheeler, just like everyone else, the first time you see Sistema, you think like, that's bull. No way. Mm-hmm. Absolutely no way. And so I was fortunate enough to reach out to Martin Wheeler and I was there like, hey, this stuff looks pretty amazing. Like, I got to experience this. And Martin Wheeler came over to the house, my old house, and we spent an afternoon on the mats training. And it's like, this is some storybook shit. Like so many of my martial experiences are like that. So like I had Martin Wheeler in my living room back then, that particular house. The living room was basically like a home dojo for the kids and me. And so like it's me and Martin Wheeler on the mats for an entire afternoon. And he's educating me on giving me a hands-on view as far as like, this is what Sistema is. This is what this art is like. I gotta say of all of the teachers that I don't get regular time with. And these days, because you know, I've moved out to Diamond Bar, to spend more time with the kids. When I used to live on the west side of LA, you know, and I had more regular access to Martin Wheeler, he's pretty much at the top of the list of people that like I wish to God I had more hours with. Amazing teacher, like his Sistema, and he's the first person to actually make Sistema to me make sense. Like, or I shouldn't say make sense because still there's so much of it that I'm like, how in the hell did he do that?
Right.
I can't quite get my body to do it, even if like cognitively, okay, I can see what he's doing, but I don't have the coordination to be able to do it. I don't have the timing yet to be able to do it. Sense of timing to be able to do it. But yeah, man, Martin Wheeler to me, I think I can't say enough good stuff about him. And just how he's given me a glimpse into being able to get more out of the soft arts, the quote unquote soft arts that I practice, whether that's Tai Chi, Aikido, Shigel, whatever, right? Like, even the striking arts, it's just like, oh man, why I could have done it that way. Like, there's such efficiency. And I hate this word because it's so overused, but it's so holistic in how he teaches it. Mm. Yeah.
So when you say holistic, can you describe that a little bit more?
Sure. So think about an art that as you practice it, you're healing yourself, and you're in training with other people, you're healing them as well. Mm. Right. That's the goal in Sistema. So it's like, if you hit someone in Sistema and it hurts, right, that pain that they're feeling helps them become aware of where there's tension in their body. Like, mm-hmm. If you are able to hit someone and they're totally relaxed, then that kind of shockwave didn't find tension to cause pain. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because yeah. It's like, if you take that hit and you're like, and ow, that hurts. Whereas like, and you just kind of bounce off of it, or you let it kind of roll through you or dissipate through your body, then there's no pain, right? And so like, as you're hitting and able to cause that kind of progressive relaxation through someone, you're healing them. Mm-hmm. And their mind, you're actually healing the mind as well, because then if someone is pig-headed and holding on to tension, right? Like, I'm just going to do it this way. I'm going to tense harder. I'm going to resist harder. There comes a point at which that gives out.
Sure. Yeah.
It's a pretty obvious one. And so hopefully that person then has that kind of epiphany of like, maybe I should try relaxing into it. I should try softening into it. Okay, now first, maybe I can just receive it softly. Then maybe I can just move out of the way softly. Then maybe I can hit as I move out of the way. So then there are different progressions as far as skill and understanding and coordination with Sistema.
Wow, that's cool. So what drew your attention to Sistema in the first place? Like, why did you feel like, okay, I want to reach out, or I want to experience this?
When I saw it, first few times I saw it demonstrated in either in video or in person, I was just sort of like, nah. And there was something about the way I remember I saw a clip. Martin Wheeler had just come out with like a 3 DVD series. And he put it up on his social media. And I remember I looked at those videos and I thought, these are exceptional. Like, this is the first time that anything relating to Sistema looked like it made sense to me. And so I reached out to him. I was like, I've got to know more. Like, you're the first person to make Sistema look fascinating to me.
Cool.
And his way of breaking it down, his way of not shrouding it in mystery, not making it seem too weird or too whatever, and just like, okay, it's just this. Martin is one in a billion in terms of his communication skills, really is. And as a human being, like, he's not one of these people that's like, I've got to beat you down. So we established like a barking hierarchy. He's not that way at all. It's just like, look, just feel this, just feel this, just feel this. And it's like, wow, that's yeah. And it really like the hallmark of an exceptional instructor. I can't encourage your audience enough. Like, everyone that sees these Sistema clips and talks about bullshito or this or that or the other, right? Mm-hmm. Like, cool, that's fine. But go to a workshop, one that Martin's teaching, or go to one that his teacher, Vladimir Vasiliev, is teaching, and feel it out. Because what you see and think you understand could be something very radically different from what your body actually feels when you get on the mat with someone like that, someone of that caliber. And there's a reason why special operations groups and such seek out those guys for training.
Right.
Yeah.
You got any irons in the fire, Doc? Any maybe new DVDs that you're thinking about doing, maybe a book, anything like that?
As far as DVDs, it's really cool that I&I Sports, Al Iba, Mr. Iba of I&I Sports, just reapproached me recently to re-release the Combat Tai Chi DVD series. So that was a really cool surprise. I thought those had been lost as far as the rights to that after Unique Publications closed down. And it's funny, right? Because like, there's a, the the Y2K catalog, where the Combat Tai Chi series came out, on the cover of that catalog, there are three people, me, Bruce Lee, and Masayama. And it's like,
that's company, brother. That's some company right there. Yeah. That's some company.
It's like, man, this little scrub doesn't deserve to be on that cover. But yeah, I mean, like it's really cool to see that, to see something from that era of my life come back around. And it's cool for me to, and the kids to look at it. I mean, one, because the kids are like, Dada, your hair is so short. but like my son is now at an age where he's familiar enough with the form, or at least sections of the form, where he'll know the moves and be like, oh, I never thought about that application. Wait, how did you do that, Dad? And then like I can break it down to him. So that's
fun. That is cool. That is really cool.
It's really cool. And then it's also really cool because, you know, like you said, that hasn't been around for 25 years. So like now a whole new audience that, is open to that kind of material is able to see it and appreciate it. What's cool for me personally about it is that like my understanding of Tai Chi has changed a lot, you know, in those 25 years. And I still feel like, man, like when it comes to the softness, when it comes to not setting off those alarm bells and those red flags with my opponents, when it comes to like fine points of joint alignment and strength and things like that. And then, you know, making every moment of practice truly rehabilitative. Like there's so much I have yet to learn. So yeah, it's cool. And of course there are fine points in terms of the fighting, like 25 years later, you know, it's one would hope that, someone's level of understanding in terms of combat gets a little bit more efficient, a little bit more, smooth. So yeah, as far as other things that are coming down the pipeline, one of my dearest friends, Jason Ferrugia, has been riding me like hell to get some content out, in a variety of different ways. So some of it's going to be rehabilitative, kind of like the Prehab 101 DVD that I put out. So that, from what I understand, is still available, that Prehab 101 DVD, as well as a download. But yeah, there's so much more stuff as far as like fine points of training. How do you train in such a way where like the workout doesn't so much kick your ass as much as it builds ability and it also rehabilitates you at the same time? So those things are something that I've been so just crazy focused on. And Jason's been really good about not letting me slack. So yeah, big, big props to Jay Ferrugia for that.
Good.
Nice. Good.
So,
yeah. Go ahead.
No, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really curious to see what comes down the pipeline. And certainly there's other stuff too. With my other pet project, K3 Combat Movement Systems. So K3 is a project that, Dr. Jim Yuen, another one of my best friends, and I came up with. And originally the idea was like, around 2009, someone had asked me like, hey, what are the things that you do for training? And I thought, it's really three Ks: kettlebells, kick punch arts, and then Kali/Krabi Krabong, like Thai weaponry, right? And so I thought, so yeah, K3, those are the three Ks. So strength training a la the kettlebell, kick punch movement systems, and then weapons based stuff. And then instead of looking at reinventing the wheel and putting together a new curriculum based on the stuff that I like to do, I thought like, what is it that like in all of these bodies of knowledge is a binding thread that could improve how people feel, how people move, how people perform? Like it's not just a tactical thing. It's not just a combat thing in terms of fighting, but it actually heals the body. It actually improves your athleticism. It actually brings you back from harder training so that you can go and rejoin the training or rejoin the battle, and still be able to make it home, not so trash that you can't even pick up your own kids. So like, these are the things that I thought about a lot. And K3, as Dr. Jim Yuen and I thought it through, became that. So looking at different aspects of the martial systems that I've been exposed to, that I've come up in, and looking at using different training methods to improve outcomes in rehab or in sports performance. So there's a lot coming down the pipeline with K3, quite a lot. It's just, there's so much material that I want to put out and so little time.
Yeah, you're busy being Papa too over there.
Papa, son. I mean, like during, like I said, in 2019, like my parents were visiting, and they're rather old. My dad, like I said, is 96. So like I moved them in full time. So the former master bedroom that used to be mine is now the spa. The other major bedroom in the house is theirs. So like when I'm not here available for them to take care of them, take care of the house, whatever, or clean the house, I'm then doing stuff with the kids. And then when I'm not with the kids, I'm working. And then when I'm not working, I'm trying to train. And then when I'm not training, I'm like out cold usually. So yeah, there's a lot of outputs. And so trying to put more stuff out that I've been dying to put out, but I just don't always have the bandwidth for it. That's the tough thing. And so now I think in the last maybe 9 months or so, I've been trying to be more mindful about what are the things that I do that I gain joy from, that I gain excitement from, that somehow like inspire me or move me, but they're still outputs. So I have to be mindful about like, okay, I really like, I love this shit, but it's tiring. And with every juice, there's a squeeze. So knowing how to be honest with myself about that, has been really helpful, but it's also really caused me to dial back. Because I realized kind of late in the game that I was pushing myself into burnout all too often.
I just wrote down with every juice, there's a squeeze. That's that's a bumper sticker right there, Doc.
I can't remember where I originally heard, there's a better version of it. I think the original version I heard was in some movie, and I think the line went, is the juice worth the squeeze?
Ooh, that's a good one too.
Similar idea. And so like for me, everything that I do now is about opportunity cost. Like I get to do some, you guys have heard me go on and on about this for over an hour now.
This is great. We love it. Yeah. That's why we have the podcast. This is awesome.
I've been lucky to do stuff. I mean, Tony Blauer would hate that I say the word lucky so damn much, but that's genuinely how I feel. I mean, like I feel so lucky to have had the kinds of opportunities that I've had to do the stuff that I do with the people that I get to do it with. But damn, there's only 24 hours in a day.
Yeah.
And a lot of those things are still outputs. So being able to balance outputs with nourishing inputs requires a bit of mindfulness. And so, yeah, that's what I'm working on right now.
That's awesome. Well, I've only got two more questions for you, Doc. And then Owen, please pop in here at, you know, anytime you want. With all the way you're taking care of yourself, I'm just going to say you're going to live to 150. So congratulations. Oh. That's a pretty good haul. So in that 150 years, if you had a chance to do another martial art and you have the time for it, what looks interesting to you? What out there in the, I know.
Dude, I'm not going to lie to you. Like there's a, you know, as a kid who was raised in the 70s and 80s, like I'm sure you guys have both seen Highlander, you know, like, you know, Connor McLeod and the Immortals and stuff like that. And, you know, one of the questions that came up, can't remember the name of it. It's a Netflix series that they've just been doing. I think it's called Sandman.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
There was one episode where there was a guy in there who was granted immortality, and the guy that the Sandman that granted him immortality said, like, I thought he'd be tired of living by now. He goes, I see all these other people and they're like, they're 70 or they're 80 or they're 50 or they're whatever. And they're tired of living. And this guy's like 500, 600, 700 years old. And he's like, he's not bored of it. He's still like, he's got that energy. And I feel like for me, if I knew that time wouldn't run out, dude, I could just do the same shit that I'm doing right now.
Sure.
And like, know that I had more time to do it in, right? Like, assuming my body doesn't lose functionality to the point where like, I can't get up and do these things, right? I'm not saying I need to do a jump spin 360, but like, you know, relatively fundamental athleticism, right? If I could keep that, I would be glad to live to 600 or 700 or 800, or, you know, like I'm down for it, because there's so much in so many different areas of the human experience that I feel like I'm just starting to scratch the surface of as far as connecting the dots. And every freaking day, truly, I'm in my 50s now. I mean, every day I'm like, wow, that's beautiful. Wow. How come I didn't see that before? Wow. Like, I can't wait to try that on X, Y, and Z. So other martial arts systems, sure. I mean, like, there's lots. I mean, like, Bagua has always fascinated me. I want to spend more time doing Capoeira Angola. I'd love to be able to spend a lot more time with Professor Roy Harris doing jiu-jitsu. You know, certainly more doing Sistema. But I mean, I think any one thing that you do, if you're looking at it with the right perspective, it'll connect dots to other styles as well. Like, oh, that's why they do this in this other style. So yeah, I'm, dude, with all my heart, truly with all my heart, like, I mean it when I say that, like, there's so much in what I'm already doing that to, if you just said, Chang, all that you're going to do from now on until the end of your days is just Tai Chi, I'd be like, cool. There's a lot in there. And it's like, no matter, or just Sistema, or just this, or just Kali, or whatever. There's so much in there that you'd have to be pretty narrow-minded and pretty myopic to get bored. How are you going to get bored when you've got something that's that deep? And if you have access to someone that can teach you the depth of these arts, or can show you the depth of these arts, or lay out the roadmap, like, here, on your own, discover all of this. How are you going to get bored? I mean, this is why, like, every day I wake up and it's like, God, please give me the juice to be able to do all these things I want to do.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that.
Truly.
My last question for the night, Doc.
Hit me.
Maybe when you're empty nest, Papa, would you ever consider touring and doing seminars on either the combat Tai Chi or Kali or anything like that?
I toured a lot prior to the pandemic. And I think right up until 2016 when I had to move out to this side of town. Prior to that, I mean, like, I was at LAX sometimes three times a week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I traveled quite a lot to teach. So could I get back on the road ostensibly? Yeah, maybe. I mean, it really depends. You know, my son's almost out of the nest. My daughter's still got quite a ways to go, but like, I'm still here for the most part. The biggest thing that keeps me from traveling is that I just want to be around to take care of my parents. Like, I don't have any backup to help look after them. So like, yeah, I mean, in the future, if they're not around and I'm still totally able-bodied, I could conceivably get back on the road and do workshops and stuff like that. But right now, at this stage in the game, my plan and what I've been discussing with Jimmy Yuan, Dr. Yuan, was for K3 and things like that to host those workshops, here in Southern California.
Have them come to you. That's good. I like it.
Yeah, because right now that's the only way that it's going to work out logistically. Like, I don't mind traveling. Like, God knows I've sure done more than enough of it over the years around the world to teach, from like South Africa to South Korea and places in between. Man, like, I've been around. And does part of me miss the road? Yeah. Ish. But to be honest, like, there's nothing like sleeping in your own bed. There's nothing like being able to kiss your kids goodnight. There's nothing like being able to, like, you know, hug your dad. And I mean, like, a lot of what I'm doing now certainly, like, hamstrings other parts of my life. But it goes back to what I was talking about earlier in terms of opportunity cost, right? Like, I don't want to be one of those dudes that, I don't know what, in my 60s or some shit, and going like, oh, I wish I did this for my dad. I wish I did that for my parents or whatever. Like, you know, a lot of people throw out these I wish, and when they're presented with the opportunity to do, they don't do. So where's the disconnect there? Like, when you have the opportunity, like, are you going to step up? Are you going to endure the squeeze just so that you can enjoy the juice and so that you can have the clean conscience later on down the road? If you're not up for that, then don't say like, oh, I wish this, I wish that. It's more like, instead of wishing that you had time with your dad or wishing that you had time with your kids or wishing that you had time with someone special, right? Make the damn time.
Yeah.
Make the sacrifices. Give up on that income. Give up on those trips. Give up on those things so that you can actually invest in your relationship. And if you're not going to do that, then it's like saying, okay, oh man, I wish my hamstring didn't get hurt. Well, did you stretch that thing before, you know, did you train it? Did you work on some strength? Or did you just think you could throw the kick and then it's going to be totally fine? So for me, a lot of life, a lot of what I'm about these days is about honoring those kinds of investment. And yeah, I mean, like, I would love to get back on the road in some ways. Unfortunately, now with the travel industry the way it is, I'm not real eager to be on the way.
Yeah, anymore. That's a fine point, Doc. That's a fine point.
Dude, I mean, like, even pre-pandemic, the occasional flight cancellation or whatever was a pain. But now it's commonplace. And so, like, I don't have the patience for that. And the money that I make, you know, working with my clients and patients here, you know, the medicine I practice now since I closed my office is mostly concierge style. So, like, patient calls up or like someone the people that have me on retainer, then I go and work with them on a semi-regular basis. So, like, the money that I would lose not taking care of them, you know, since it's, to be honest, it's a pretty penny. The money that I would lose not taking care of them is pretty hard to compete with as far as like workshop money. So yeah, if I'm doing a workshop, it'll be really rewarding for me in one sense, but I got to make sure that I understand it as an investment for the future, for like improving outcomes for people that I will never meet, right? Like some of the patients that some of my colleagues work with who've gone through K3.
Awesome.
Nice.
Mr. Schilling, any questions for the doc?
No, I don't think so. That's been fantastic. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it was awesome because, like, anytime I was thinking something, Doc, you just picked it up and ran with it. I'm like, oh, I didn't even have to say something. He knew what to say. Doc's been on a podcast before.
Yeah, I've done a couple.
Well, is there any closing thoughts that you'd like to leave the audience with, or anything that you don't think's being said out there these days, or anything like that, Doc?
I don't think I'm terribly creative, you know, when it comes to that sort of thing. But there's some thought, like, as far as the thoughts that I want to leave people with, and it's kind of the same thing that I try and say in my social media, like on my Insta, as you've seen, and hopefully there'll be a link to that in the show notes.
Absolutely, absolutely, we always do that.
But if people would just slow down enough to become a little bit more aware, then maybe they'd be a little bit more kind. So I think that if there's a message, it's that slow down a little bit. And it's sometimes the hardest thing to do because we get so caught up in excitement, especially the excitement of achievement. There's so much shit we want to do, so much that we've got to, like, oh, I have this opportunity. I have that. I have this. Or, like, whether it's opportunities or wants that are driving your movement or driving your thought process. Oftentimes that turns into anxiety. And if you can't slow down enough to be able to make intelligent decisions and be able to craft a plan that is long-term or long game guided, you may end up with more regrets than you want. So slow it down a little bit, you know, look through life in a way that allows you to see, like, is this honoring my long-term plan? And is it the juice that I want to be squeezed for?
Doc, thank you awesome. For your time.
Yeah, thank you.
This has been so much fun. And absolutely, we're going to put your website, everything in the show notes. And wish you the best. And maybe down the road, we'll have you on the show again. And you can tell us about everything you've done with K3 Combat and everything else that's going on with you.
It's a cool project. Really, the best way of keeping in touch with what I'm doing is my Insta, at Dr. Mark Chang. The website really, really, really is overdue for a long overhaul, a very thorough overhaul. But otherwise, yeah, everything's on the Insta. So yeah, I look forward to another round with you guys.
Right on. Appreciate it.
Thanks you, Doc. Have a blessed day, my friend.
Thank you, sirs.